this way because I think I scared them last time. I went amongst the equipment. And so anyway, I'll go straight forward. If you look, the orange line is the giving goal for the year. If you had a weekly amount, that's that weekly amount every week all year. The blue line shows the actual weekly giving. And so as we met in February and in March, we could see that the weekly giving was well below the goal. And we were reporting this to the staff and reporting it to the elders. And we began reporting it to the congregation. And we began putting it into the bulletin because it continued through the months of the first half of the year, which is why the January to June weekly giving was $13,507, approximately $800 a week below the goal. Again, we tried to check all our numbers, make sure we had them accurately reported, and then we shared them up to the staff and the elders. The second half of the year, we had a higher average, and you can see there's one great big week. So we did finish the year meeting our goal, but the first half of the year was interesting because we were seeing the giving, the weekly giving was not meeting the goal, and we just shared that up the line. I do want to say, this is the start of my 10th year serving on the team, and I go every month and I look at the numbers, and I am really humbled by the sacrifices and the way God works through his people to support the ministries of this church. And so I personally, having seen that so many times, I want to say thank you.
Awesome, Maureen. Thank you.
So the other thing we like to do up here once a year is give you a recap of the account balances at the end of 2019 or, you know, as of January 1st of this year, just so you guys are aware of kind of everything, full disclosure. You can see we had an increase in all three, the general fund, the deacon's fund, and our savings. I'll mention on the savings there, we have CD and money markets. That's the abbreviations. We didn't have to dip into it. In years past, we've had to dip into a CD or dip into some of the savings to help cover. This year, we didn't have to go into that. The increase is just in interest. And then the general fund account shows an increase in balance. That's some of meeting the goal at the end of the year of our giving, but also we saw a decrease in some of the expenses with the change in the student ministry positioning and the staffing there. And also the staff does well, and Steve does well in the office, kind of looking for cost savings opportunities. Some of that over the past year we saw is in the copier and printing and things like that, finding a different vendor that was cheaper, cell phone plans, things like that, finding areas to save money as well so we can focus that money into ministry and other areas within it. So this is where we sit now, and I'll turn it over to Chris now to look towards 2020.
All right. So as we start to look at 2020, I'm going to point your attention to the packet that was handed out as you walked in. We turn to the second page, which has the 2020 stewardship plan. Just want to talk through that. And up front there, or yeah, up front here, or on the screen behind me, or yeah, in front of me, you see some different numbers. You see 2018, we came in at $13,726. In 2019, we see an average there of $13,820. You see that $13,820 is slightly different than what Tim had just shared with the $14,397. And what the difference is between those two numbers is the $13,820 is reflective of the giving minus those one-time gifts. So as we look at what can we actually budget on if we remove one-time gifts, right? We can't necessarily count on those year in, year out, and we can't schedule when they're going to come in. It takes our giving to $13,820. The second point that I wanted you to see, going back to the other slide real quick, the second point I want you to see is on the bottom right-hand side there, where you see the January to June number of the $13,507. The challenge that we have is we have to put a budget out there that aligns us for the entire year and gives us the ability not just to meet finances month to month, and but also meet finances throughout the year as it progresses, right? As expenses come in, expenses aren't always level set, beginning of the year light, end of year heavy. But typically giving is beginning of the year light and end of the year heavy. So as you see there, as you have July to December, the $14,517, that's that back-end heavy side of it. So what we did is we put together the budget that's here in front of you, utilizing a average giving of $13,750, taking what we feel is a good number that can carry us month to month and project us forward as well. So that's what you see here in the stewardship plan outlined. And what that is again, we feel that that's the right number that's going to carry us through the year. In addition to that, we also want to look at a growth number, right? And we want to be growing as a congregation. We want to be growing as a body and pouring into the ministries and outreaches as we can. So we look at 2021, we have a growth number here of $14,235. And what that reflects is where we would actually want to be trending going into 2021. And that reflects a 3% growth over what the 2020 budget will be. So what does 3% growth look like? It looks like 5 new givers at the average of $78 a giver. You know, as we look at that and try to project forward, again, our goal isn't just to stay at where we're at. It's utilizing God's money to go forward, to reach into the community, to reach into these ministries. And that's really where we're focused. As you take a look at the expense category here, you see in the general expenses, you see some changes within the salaries, retirement side of it, and the mission side of it. And some of those changes are reflective of us trying to better align that portion of the budget with our overall budget to a healthy percentage. So you see some reductions in percentages there. It's actually a 6% reduction, which takes us close to where we were at 80%, down to just over 70%, 73.5%. And that's where we're trying to better align that as a whole. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later here in the service. But I just wanted to thank you guys as a whole too, right? At the beginning of the year, we didn't know where we were going to be. The trend was not looking healthy, as Maureen had shared. We just didn't know what God had in store for us. But as we closed the year out, we had a lot to celebrate, whether it was one-time gifts, whether it was increasing giving overall and that trend increasing. God was faithful, right? We were blind to essentially what he was going to do, but we knew he was working within us. So thank you for that. Thank you for hearing his call. Thank you for partnering with us as we go forward. And just have a verse to share here. It's Philippians 1, 3 through 6. And it says, I thank my God every time I remember you because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And that is really where we are. We're very thankful, for you and your partnership in the gospel. So if you're looking for ways to give, we have a few ways to give there. One is in person. So in the seat back in front of you, there are envelopes there. As the ushers come forward, you can utilize those envelopes or just use a plate and offering to give in person. Another is online. So you can go right to our website, as others had shared previously. With the new website, it's inviting. You can go right on there. You'll see an e-giving link that you can utilize. By mail, you can mail a check into the church office. You can automate it, make it on a reoccurring schedule. And then there's also text. Yes, you can give now through text. So pretty neat way of doing it. And then you can also make it reoccurring through there as well. So we just thank you for your partnership, and just thank you for the continued support as we try to spread the gospel here in Quakertown. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Let's give them a round of applause. Really appreciate it. And we truly do thank everyone for their partnership in the gospel, whether it's like we highlighted different ministries and volunteers or whether it's through giving. Some people just have the gift where they're able to give in significant ways, and we're just so thankful for that and appreciate your generosity in that way. We will have, for members, there will be a vote of affirmation next Sunday on the budget that'll be happening here. And if you want to interact more with the finance team, they'll be in the studio, which is right in the room just off the left of this room here, after the service, if you want to interact. If you love numbers and just want to talk numbers, you can go meet them there. Have a fun time. So it should be good. All right, the ushers are going to come forward. I'm going to take a moment and just pray over the offering this morning. And again, if you are new here with us, please don't feel any obligation to give. As was mentioned, there's a lot of different opportunities to do that if you want to become a part of that. But if you're new here, we're just so glad that you're here with us this morning. And again, it's a little bit of a unique morning, but it gives you a little bit of a picture of what we're about to and what we do. And so let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for your incredible generosity towards us. Jesus, when you walked into our world, when you, God, became man, you sacrificed so much for on our behalf, and we deeply thank you. God, when you went to that cross and you died for our sins, like it's hard to fathom the generosity of that moment. And just our hearts are thankful, God. We really are. Thank you that you give us strength for today. Thank you that we can lean on you for strength for tomorrow. Lord, thank you that as we pour out our hearts to you, that you meet us there. You meet us right where we're at. So I pray for each person in this room. God, I just pray that you would become so real to each one of us, that our hearts would just burn for you. Man, that we would just long for you, Lord, that we would walk closely with you each and every day, but especially today, and fill our hearts today with your love, with your goodness, with your grace towards those around us. And I just pray a special blessing on each person here, on each family that's here this morning. These gifts that we give, it's a great joy to join in your work in this way, Lord. Continue to use these gifts to impact people for eternity. That's our heart's desire, Lord, and it's an honor to join with you in that. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank the Lord that we have Jesus. I don't know where you find yourself in life, but man, it's our living hope. Awesome stuff. So Doug is a part of our elder board, leads our elder board. All right, now he'll be sharing a little bit, and Pastor Aaron and myself as well. We're going to look forward a little bit together, and just as we think about, you can, if you have these vision cards, was in the handout that went out to you as well there. And if you've been around here as a church, you know that we try to be all about loving God, turning our hearts towards God, and turning our eyes and our hearts towards Jesus, and then loving those around us. So loving God and loving others, all about discipleship and growth, all about reaching those around us and sharing this good news with others. And we try to be about both those two things. Sometimes we balance them well. Other times they get out of balance a little bit. Well, we try to do our best, you know, just to run forward together that way. And about 3 years ago, we had chosen this vision and just really felt led to this vision as an elder team, as a leadership team, to get prepare to serve, Vision 2020, prepare to serve more and more young, unchurched families of our community. That was after looking at the opportunities in our community, looking at the giftedness of who we are as a church body, and then we were calling really every generation, what's it look like for every generation to be a family of followers that's focused forward on the community and focused forward on the next generation. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. Doug's going to share about the family, and there's some changes coming up there that are certainly not easy to talk about, but he's going to lead the way with that. And then Aaron's going to take the followers, and I'll finish this out on the focus forward part.
So as we think of the reality of family, my wife and I have been blessed to have 6 children. And what I've often said is when you have 6 kids, usually some are doing good and some are not. And you usually get that just about all the way through. And you know, church life is like that too, especially when we go through change. And this section here is in the first part of it, it's kind of tough because as we, as lay elders, and let me define that, that would be Tony Carty and Ben Kunkel, Steve Schmidt, Ken Stout, Chris Hawk, and myself. As we, our responsibility is to set the staff. And as you were aware, we had some financial challenges, especially after the Bucks County Intermediate Unit left. That had an impact on our campus serve full-time position. We've communicated that previously, and Eric is wrapping up that full-time position pretty rapidly now. And so that becomes something that is no longer staying a full-time position. And so that's hard. Because when we talk about changes we make, and you know, we show numbers on a spreadsheet, and that's no knock on spreadsheets or numbers, but they all have people behind them, and that's difficult. And so that was our first kind of change. And about that time in late spring, early summer, as lay elders, we really began to realize that we needed to take a look at all of our staffing. We needed to look at what we needed to do as a church. We talked about it. We prayed about it. We consulted a couple times with an outside resource. We knew that through no fault of our staff or anything else, our percentages in staffing and benefits was high. We had to balance ministry needs, missions, the expense of the building. It's hard. Now, as hard as that is on us, I want you to hear something. It's harder on the families that are impacted by the decisions. So I'm not trying to create sympathy for us. It's not an easy part of the job, the calling, but it's harder on people, the people that are impacted. And so as we ran through that, we realized and came to the conviction that the position that we have had of pastor of worship and care, which Jerry Bigenhoe fills full-time, which would continue through the end of this June, really needs to be moved to a part-time position. And our needs for music have changed over the decades that I've been here. Care, the way we do care, has changed somewhat, and so with small groups. And so we came to the tough decision that we needed to make that part-time. It's agonizing, but we felt that it was the right thing that we had to do in the big picture. We were thankful that in the last couple weeks we were able to sit down with Jerry and we were able to present some additional responsibilities that if he takes would keep him as a full-time equivalent. So he'll be Pastor Jerry, but part of what he would do if he goes this direction is to keep the care and the worship as well as the extra responsibilities. But the positions itself will not be a full-time in terms of worship care. And so Jerry is thinking about that right now, praying about that, probably getting counsel to decide, you know, what he wants to do with that. And we respect that. And I can tell you that in all of this, I know Jerry's a talented musician. And so do you, because you've watched it and you've listened to it. But Jerry's character, as we've walked through this over the months, and the way that he's handled this has just been what we know should be true of an elder, because if you look at the elder characteristics, it's a lot about character, not about gifts and abilities, and is true of Jerry. And I very much appreciated that. And so, again, very tough thing, but we knew we needed to make those two changes. As we and as I reflected back on after I went home from talking with Jerry recently, I thought about, and you can put the circles up here. That's the next slide with the four circles. I thought about how as I looked at these four circles, and the creative arts coordinator we'll get to later, and I looked at this campus serve part-time, pastor of worship and care part-time, student ministry director full-time. You know, this time last year, he's not here, what do I care? Anyway, no, just kidding. I called him Frankie. Frank was here. Other than the first circle where when the IU left and whenever that was in the fall, I would have not anticipated being here talking about three other circles after that. Just wouldn't have. And so when I look at that, the campus serve part-time, pastor of worship and care part-time, the next one we come to is student ministry director full-time. So in families, you have tough times, you have happy times. You have times of rejoicing, you have times of not so rejoicing. One of the things that we anticipate sharing soon with you is some really good news about a full-time person for the student ministry director. And you're going to have to just wait a little bit. I shared in the first service how much I love to wait. Which got dirty looks. No, accurate looks from my wife and any kid that's here. One or two were here the first service. But we really anticipate being able to share shortly some really good news about that one. The last one, as we looked at staffing, the creative arts coordinator, is about the growing need that churches have for people that can do videography, photography, the whole gamut of social media. Now, I am not one to talk about social media. Here's my phone. Okay. And, you know, before everybody laughs at that, here's the reality of that kind of phone. My mama don't know where I am. No weird tracking stuff for me. But I understand that when David Smith says they connected through our webpage, when I was at the door on the Christmas Eve service saying goodbye, and I had a woman look back at me and say, you know, just so you know, the way we found out about that was through Facebook. When I watch the students that I work with in FCA and how they communicate out with the student body through Remind and all of this other stuff, I know that it's not about me understanding it. It's about what we do to communicate with a younger generation and reach into another generation. So we are looking at those changes as we go through this year. And so I thought what would be good for us to do is we need to look at how we do change as a church. And one of them is that we put things out, we share, and I know some of this came as a surprise. Sometimes you can't do it any other way than that. But we also ultimately need to put things in God's hands. And that's what I want us to do right now. So let's pray together. Lord, as we have walked through this section of family, Lord, you have gone before us. Those circles did not surprise you. And we're thankful for that. We're grateful for your love. We pray your encouragement, your support, your guidance of everyone that's reflected in those circles, some to be named later, Lord, some that are making decisions now. We pray your blessing upon them. Pray your guidance as a church family, Lord. Thank you for the reality that we can call upon you in all of our circumstances. We give you thanks. We thank you for your love to us, Lord. Amen.
Doug, I'm glad you mentioned that this was a phone. Before that, I had no idea what it was. I was about to click through the slides with it. Which reminds us of what we have there on the bottom of the screen. Every generation is part of the solution, right? And the call for the whole church to be involved in this vision of reaching young, unchurched, and disconnected families. Maybe you've heard us say this phrase before from up here, but we're all about next steps. I hear that phrase in my sleep at this point. We're all about everyone taking their next step in their journey with following Jesus and getting involved in the community that is the church. And really, we want to continue to promote this idea that each one of you plays a part in this vision that we have here. If you'll remember, back in fall, we had a sermon series we started off the school year with called It's Alive, Checking the Vital Signs of the Church. And in it, we hope you heard that the church is far broader than its staff. It's a body of believers, it's a family, and we're all called to play our God-given part in that family. And so it's been neat to watch that video earlier and see how so many of you have stepped up and stepped into areas of need. And as I was preparing for this morning, I thought of one particular event that took place in these last 3 years as we've been promoting this vision. It was kind of a crazy day here on a Sunday, March of 2018. Some of you remember this panicked post that went out on Facebook, because we were supposed to be taking part as a church in the egg hunt out in the community. And on that day, there was this freak snowstorm that came in, and they couldn't do the egg hunt in the community anymore. And so they called us up and said, hey, we need to do the egg hunt, and it's going to be right in your parking lot. And so,
why not, right?
Yeah, why not? And at that time, we had really nice potholes to hide the eggs in, all kinds of things like that. And so it was a pretty crazy morning. We already had an army of volunteers that were going to head out into the community, but now we were going to need a whole lot more. And it was going to take place like an hour after we got up from our seats here. And actually, that's exactly what we saw that morning. People get up from their seats who weren't planning to serve that day and heading out into the parking lot and finding a way that they could jump in. And it was really an incredible opportunity for so many here at the church to serve hundreds of young families here in our community. Some of you remember that day full well as this craziness of a day, but for others, they remember it as their first encounter with a church family that was going to serve them and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I actually wanted to share a story of one of those families that experienced that this morning.
Today, East Swamp, it was Easter 2018. We came to this parking lot to do the Easter egg hunt, and because it was too muddy to do it in the grass in the fields. And we were in the search for a new church. We really didn't make any connections anywhere else yet. We were worried about the kids not really connecting with any churches. They were handing out little cards to invite everybody to the Easter service, and they had a candy buffet, which really attracted the kids. So we figured we would give East Swamp a chance. Let's see what it's like. And from the moment we walked in, it was just so amazing. Everybody was so friendly. And It was a little different from our normal speed because it was, the music was louder. We had we've never experienced a band before or anything like that, but it was really cool from the very beginning. We felt almost like we were coming home. So,
as far as next steps, it's kind of nice. Every Sunday you come and they ask you to fill the little card out in front of you. So naturally we did that, and you start hearing about the updates each Sunday and some of the upcoming events, and we kind of went to the starting point class, which is kind of how you start getting involved and learn about what the church is all about. From there, I'd say even though we did it separately, we both were baptized. We started getting involved in some of the events around church and fight clubs and men's retreat, and just get to know people a little bit better. And after baptism, became members. So it's just slowly trying to get more and more involved as a family.
I like church because I get to meet all different new people. And at first, I felt like a little new to the church. And once I got used to it, I really loved it. And I like rally time too. And I like my choir that I go to. And I like vacation Bible school. That we do all certain activities, and I like the church a lot.
That we have a good time at the gym, and my teachers are nice, and we have a good time at rally time.
I think best advice I could give people that are maybe sitting there and not quite sure what you want to do is just kind of put yourself out there. And you think you're not going to know anybody if you sign up for one of these events or you get a chance. It's just been really cool to meet new people and maybe nervous at first where you're the new person, you don't know anybody, but everybody's very friendly, and it's given us the opportunity to as we've talked with friends to invite them along, and now you get a chance to kind of hang out, and the kids get to play together every Sunday. So it's been really cool. So yeah, I just say, there's never going to be a time that probably feels right. You just kind of, kind of jump in feet first.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, really cool.
It seems crazy, but that was not even 2 years ago that they walked into this parking lot for an egg hunt, and you had the opportunity to serve them, and guess what? They never left. They stayed here, and they continue to grow in their faith. They continue to take next steps. Even they were here this morning in the first service sitting with some friends that they invited in to join our family now, too. And it's just incredible to see what God has done in their lives. Went from attending an event to attending to being engaged in what was going on here in the church. And that really is what we want for each and every person that's here. Too often we've heard that our vision over these last few years to reach young, unchurched, and disconnected families, many people thought it devalued or de-emphasized our family here that comes on a Sunday morning. But we want you to know that we deeply value you. And that's why we have created these next steps. That's why we work so hard to have these different places where you can plug in and grow and be in part of community. That was the whole process of these next steps. And so I'd encourage you, like Brandon did there at the end of the video, to not spend another year just simply attending, but engage in the process. Join in a starting point to hear what's going on here at the church and what we believe. Find a small group to build community with. Take part in all that God has created for you in the church.
Really cool. Thanks, Aaron. And just as we walk into this final series, final section then, I guess I went back, I'm sorry. As we try to focus forward, we're just trying to continue to call every generation to invest in that next generation. And again, you might say, why? You can do so. We can all be a part of something so significant, so significant. Passing that faith on, passing the message of Jesus, passing that good news on to the next generation. There's nothing better that you could be a part of. One of the pictures of that is with our, at Christmas, there's countless examples of this, I guess is what I was saying, from Christmas. One of the cool things was with our team that does first impressions of people coming through the door, our guest services. We had teams of various ages, partnering as key leaders, that were leading other leaders that day. And actually a fun little internal goal is we were trying to get this front row filled with people from the church and not the late coming newcomers, you know, and walk them all the way up to the front row very awkwardly. And we did it. So it was so, you know, internally we had this fun little celebration with that. But that's one area. Another area is with our student ministry. We mentioned them earlier, but Linda Hill, this is Linda with some of our students at Dare to Share. And again, so many leaders doing awesome things. Linda is leading other small group leaders on a high school ministry night. She's overseeing and working with the female leaders, the small group leaders that night, and just doing an awesome job pouring her life into them as they're pouring their lives into the students. Just really cool example. With our campus services, with our facilities needs, there are going to be some changing needs there. We'll be looking for more leadership there and looking for more opportunities for people that like to fix things, you know, around the campus here. It's an opportunity there if you want to jump in. With our care ministries, talking with Jerry about that, he has some, with his care team, some people that now visit that are transitioning into a time where they'll need to be, you know, receive visitation that way. So we're trying to build that team there. We had this really cool example of a lady that sadly lost her husband in the last year. She's widowed. But she came in after coming through that experience. She came in maybe 2 months ago. And she said, hey, I'd love to start a ministry to other widows in the church body here. Just a really cool example of every generation just engaging and getting involved in that way. When we think out in the community, there's countless opportunities. With Triple C, here's an awesome internal opportunity right here on our campus. The schools, Jeanette Langreen, she's leading an awesome team that are in the schools, the public schools, on a weekly basis. Faith Christian's moving right next door. Who knows what that's going to bring as far as opportunity. And out at the skate park, you know, we got that building built. The Freefall Energy Center was built this year, had that grand opening for that. They started on the second phase now. This is a dozer, getting rid of those ramps. This was a pretty emotional moment for all the skate park guys because their life was centered around those ramps. And so they crumbled their life up and shoved it over into a corner. It was pretty emotionally distressing. But you stay focused on the future. There's going to be new ramps. It's going to be awesome. But you know what? On Friday of this week, Steve Schmidt is on the screen there, one of our elders here, and Dave York, one of our volunteers from our church here as well. They come out on a weekly basis. They took the side of one of those ramps, and we built this memory wall in the building. They mounted it right up on the wall, and guys are going to be able to write on it and just share on it. Just an awesome, another incredible example of every generation reaching out and serving that next generation. We're just really excited about that, committed to that, calling everyone to join in that. We don't think it's something so significant that we have the opportunity to be a part of. I just really encourage you to consider how you might be a part of that. Now, as I was thinking about this, maybe it was 3 or 5 years ago, I can't remember. We were away on an elder retreat, and we shared this verse. We looked at Acts 3 and Acts 4. It's an incredible story, the early church. Right after the church exploded in numbers, you have Peter and John, two early followers of Jesus. And they are going to church service in the afternoon. They're going to pray. And when they're walking to church, they come across this lame man who's been, his legs are not working for 40 years. And he asks for money. They're like, we can't give you money, but you know what? We're going to heal you. And in the name of Jesus, they heal that young man. And it says he followed them. He went with them to church. He went with them. He was singing, jumping, and praising God. And I don't know if you can envision that. You know, if someone comes into our church on a day like today, you know, come, you meet someone on the way, you have this incredible experience with them where they're something they've been dealing with for a long time. They're healed and they come with you and they're just out of control excited. You know what I mean? Just like going nuts. And what's the leaders of that church of that day did not necessarily like it so much. They were a little bit offended. They threw Peter and John in prison, right? They start questioning, what are you doing? They tell them, stop talking about this. Let's try to keep this hush-hush. And they're like, no way. We're going to continue to talk about Jesus. We're going to continue to do that. And I love their prayer. This is their prayer in Acts 4. Because they get out of jail and they go back to their homes and their home church. And they're gathered there to pray. And they say, Lord, consider their threats. Now, I know we're not at a time where we're experiencing threats, but as a church, we are walking through some transition. And that's always tricky. It's always hard. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. See, they would have had every right and every reason in that moment where they were to pray for safety, to pray for security, to pray for protection. They just came out of jail. They were in jail for a night because of their faith, because of their love for Jesus, because of what happened. They had every right to shrink back. But no, they prayed for boldness. They prayed for courage. And I hope that can capture our heart right now where we're at. We know we're in some challenging times. We know there's some change. We know that it's not going to be easy. But man, I hope you hear we're family. We care for each other. More importantly, we follow Jesus. And we're going to depend on him individually, wherever you find yourself as an individual right now. What would it look like for you to take that to Jesus, to fully really depend on him in this moment, wherever you find yourself? And as a church, that's where we find ourselves corporately too. We're just trying to pour our hearts out to God. Say, Lord, help us. Help us go forward. We are all yours. We're all in. We're all in. And I hope you can join us there as well. And join us in prayer as we go forward. So the praise team's going to end. We have one song to end with. And just really appreciate you guys being here this morning. And appreciate just your hearts for each other, your hearts for the Lord. And just as we go forward together, we know we're going to need more of that. We're going to need more of those hugs and more of those cares and more of this come alongside each other and encouraging one another. But more than anything, we hope that we can keep our hearts and our eyes focused on Christ, focused on him.
I pray that those are far more than words we just sang. I pray that those are the words that are true of our hearts, that all we have is yours. God, I'm reminded of Moses' words, if your presence goes, I don't want to stay, and if your presence stays, I don't want to go. And I pray that you would give us the boldness to live our lives in that way, God, to follow you wholeheartedly with everything in us. God, as we reflect back on this last year, we didn't expect to hear some of the things we heard this morning, but we know that none of them were a surprise to you. And now as we look to this next year, we have no idea what's coming, but we hold to the truth that you go before us and behind us and uphold us. And so, God, we look for your strength and your wisdom and the courage that can only come from your spirit as we walk into this next year. We thank you for the things we could celebrate this morning as we look back at that video, all the exciting moments, but the most exciting of all was the opportunity we had to preach the gospel to people here in our community. And so I pray that you give us many more opportunities this year to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that more and more people might come to know his name. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We look forward to seeing you guys next week as we kick off our 2 Timothy series. We hope you have a great week, and we love you guys.